TV. TV. TV.
Okay, TV.
Merry, merry Mariah Christmas, everyone.
Mimi Christmas.
Yes, Mimi Christmas, everyone.
That's what you mean.
It's a podcast of the television. We weren't even going to do this episode. It's a Mimi Christmas miracle. But here's what happened. Dave and I...
We had this big idea, see?
We were going to talk about Mariah Carey's directorial debut, A Christmas Melody, on our regular Linoleum Knife show last week with Ben Mankiewicz.
It is a film, after all.
Yes, but we were pressed for time and didn't get around to it. Meanwhile, listeners of the B-Movies podcast will know that Bibbs, while recovering from knee surgery, was very exhaustively covering the slate of...
Every...
Hallmark and Lifetime one. Christmas movies. With,
just Hallmark.
Oh, just Hallmark. Sorry.
Screw Lifetime.
In laser-focused detail. But this one aired so late in the game that he did not get to it either. So the fates decreed that we had to do a Christmas week episode of LKTV and have Bibbs on with us to talk about it.
The fates decreed nothing. Bibbs... Well, invited himself over to the house.
Yeah, well, that was part of it, too.
To do this. He said, I take this as my invitation.
I think of Bibbs as an agent of fate.
Will you introduce him?
I did. I said, William Bibbs Bibiano.
Okay,
all
right.
Podcast.
Okay,
thank you. I have been recovering from a very serious car accident. Knee surgery was required, and I've had to do a lot of physical therapy, and I have been absorbing every brilliant episode of LKTV as I have been just crunching the scars off of my leg.
Five of them,
as you've been
so
grinding
far.
The and cartilage. Yeah, this is like number eight, I think.
Is it?
The most exquisite discourse on Manimal since the Cinema Snob tackled it. And when you said, we're going to do the Mariah Carey Christmas special, and I'm like, oh, I can't do the Mariah Carey Christmas special. I can't wait to see what they have to say. And then they're like, well, we'll do it on our movie one. So I start listening to your movie one, and I'm like, where the heck is this, and what is this, Star War? What? There's only one movie that opened last weekend, and it was Mariah Carey's Christmas special, and then you said, oh, we didn't get to it, we're sorry, and then I jokingly said, well, I guess I have to do it with you. And you took pity on me.
Not jokingly. You weren't joking.
I was, okay.
You were serious, and now it's seriously happening.
56% joking. Yeah. 56% joking.
Here you are. Let's... Yeah. This is not really going to be an incredibly lengthy episode.
No, this is all Mariah all the time.
I can go on.
This is a little treat, a little gift for you.
Yes, your Christmas bonus, as
maybe.
It were. The jam of the month club.
Oh, man. And they snuck this one out too. Like this was like, you know, Hallmark does new movies every weekend. Sometimes more, sometimes up to three, sometimes even five on like Thanksgiving. And Mariah is like what they saved for last, like next to last.
Here's
like
why.
Cherry on the top.
We know why. They were shooting this movie late. This thing didn't get shot in the spring or even the summer. This thing just wrapped, practically.
It aired wet, basically, from the lab.
The devil, you say. It seems so polished.
We know this. Because the man who plays Janitor Claus in the film is a personal friend of ours.
I met him at one of your parties.
He's a nice man.
Yeah.
You're a great dude.
Yeah.
That would be three-time Tony Award nominee Kevin Chamberlain.
Correct.
As I like to introduce him at parties, here's my friend, three-time Tony Loser. Actually, I only did that once. Because I knew I wanted to test the joke on him, like, and just get him on his feet. I didn't want to plan it with him in advance.
And without losing a beat.
And without losing a beat, he said, nominee. So, and if you've ever, if you know this man's work, Toyotathon commercial, currently, where he sings in his Burt Lahr of The Wizard of Oz kind of voice.
His sassy butler from Disney Channel,
He's the sassy butler from the Disney Channel sitcom, Jesse.
Or if you follow Broadway, he was in The Addams Family and Dirty Blonde and Seussical, which were the three shows that he got Tony nominations for.
So during the shooting of this show, I'm sorry, of this film, he texted me a picture of himself in the Santa beard. That god-awful Santa beard. Oh,
you can almost see the lace at the edge of it.
You can see the lace at the edge of it. When, up under his nose, if they close up on him, and they're always closing up on him, because here's one of his actorly characteristics. Twinkly eyes. Oh, the man has twinkly eyes. They get that close-up on him really, really close. And you can see the scratchy edge of the fake mustache right under his nose.
And the beard is hanging out like at a straight angle.
Dude has a beard that he had to shave to put on to wear the world's worst beard on television.
I have, and this is 100% true, I have a blind spot, a mental blind spot for fake wigs, or any wigs, I guess, and fake beards. Like, I do not process them. Like, I can tell sometimes, but I never think to myself, wow, that looks really, really fake. All I think to myself is, well, that gentleman likes wearing fake beards. And then I just tune it out. I'm never distracted. I mean, I was like, oh, that person's hair looks a little bit fake. How unfortunate for them. I'm going to move on.
Fake beard was its own character in this film.
It had its own trailer, I think.
And so he texted me a picture of it. And he said, I know you like Santa Claus. And
I... Did he say it with that inflection, I hope?
Yeah.
He texted back.
Yes, he did. Okay. And
if you had attended the Christmas program that Frank DeCaro and I did this year, we Skyped in with Kevin and he talked about this. He actually showed us photos of the early drafts of the beard.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, and basically I told him that I wanted three cream puffs. Because I thought he was the guy from Beard Papa.
So, yeah, this movie, wow. Where to begin?
I think we should begin at the beginning. Because sure. This movie, I think we were all kind of curious if Mariah Carey was going to be, like, better than Madonna as a director. Like, it's, I know, like, WWE was okay. Like, competent. And, like... The first shot, it's a close-up of a Santa Claus ornament. He's in his sleigh. There's the reindeer. And he's almost cut out of the frame. Like, it's first shot is out of, it's like badly framed. Yeah. Like, it's not even just like, no one was just like, hey, Mariah.
2 inches
Miss
to
Mariah,
the left.
Just squeak it a little bit to the right. Nope, nothing. Already off to a terrible, terrible start.
I want to talk about her. Before we, you know, go through this.
Yeah.
Comparing her to Madonna, as you just did. Did you see Filth and Wisdom? Madonna's first feature. Okay, it is irredeemable garbage.
It's the one they tried to pretend didn't happen when they released WWE.
Yeah. When WWE came out, they made this big show of, this is Madonna's feature debut. It's like, lies! Everyone's lying right now.
That's how I feel about the whole, there are 7 Star Wars movies debacle.
Yeah.
And Quentin Tarantino's 8th movie. Yeah. Sure. So, Kill Bill's 1 film. Sure. Whatever you say.
But here's the thing. Filth and Wisdom, as terrible as it is, at least has this idea that it wants to be, you know, something weird and left of center. She may have been an inept director, but she had some kind of strange vision for it.
Yeah, she had an idea.
Her skills improved dramatically for WWE.
We is competent.
Yeah. poor Mariah doesn't quite know what she's doing as a filmmaker.
You think?
It is a fact.
Except when it comes to her own close-ups.
No, she doesn't.
Those are magical.
Every shot of Mariah Carey in this movie, there's no one else in the frame with her.
There's no one in the room.
I mean, she's occasionally in a wide shot to remind you that she was indeed on set at the same time as the rest of the cast.
But she's always like being live-streamed. You know, like, there's always, like, that one person at the Oscars who's being live-streamed and telling about it. That's what she's doing. And she has
She's the Tupac hologram.
She has a filter on her that can kick the butt of Cybill Shepherd's filter in Moonlight. Yeah. It would, like, win in a fight.
It is a glowy space vacuum.
She'll be in front of like a lit up tree, and all of those lights are just these wobbly blobs of incandescence. Like there's no shape to be found because the focus is so soft.
And there's two things that she's trying to convince you of in this movie. One is that she's taller than everyone, because in every one of those takes she's looking down a little bit,
right,
in this sort of condescending way. Like, I appreciate
that as a choice, though. I appreciate that. Like they put her on a box choice or something. Yeah,
okay.
I like the idea of giantess Mariah.
Her character is snooty,
being mean to everyone and looking down on them.
Okay.
I'm gonna let that one go. I'm gonna accept that.
All right, fine. I can't accept that she's supposed to be the same age as Lacey Chabert. Lacey Chabert is my age, and Mariah Carey is 45, and that's what she admits to.
Yeah,
yeah. No, she's playing 13 years older, and it's like, yeah, I was in high school with Lacey Chabert. How many times were you held back? Because that's really embarrassing.
It's fairly, she was redshirted for football.
It's fairly true that Mariah is about 44, 45, because she was a late teens, maybe 20.
In the late 80s.
When she hit in the late 80s.
I was saying, it wouldn't surprise me if she fudged another couple of years after that. But like, yeah, she's in her mid-40s. She's playing 33.
Only Tommy Mottola knows for sure.
she is a magical delight.
So, okay, so we open in Los Angeles, in finger quotes, where Lacey Chabert's dress shop has just been shut down because...
Reasons.
No
one buys dresses in Beverly Hills.
Exactly. But lucky for her, she has this giant house waiting for her in Ohio that she can go run into.
Gorgeous big house. Stocked with coffee.
Exactly. Well, we're getting there.
In fact, we've already skipped over good stuff.
Oh, sorry. I was about to get to the homeless guy, but what else?
Oh, no, the homeless guy was the next.
Oh, okay.
Well, then comes Homeless Claus.
Homeless Claus, yes. It's Kevin Chamberlain's appearance in the film, with maybe an even slightly worse beard than he wears later.
I was thinking it's kind of a better beard because it's big and grimy looking, like they tried stuff with it.
He's lived in that beard.
It looks better on a homeless guy than it does on an elementary school janitor.
Correct.
I will totally grant you that.
Yes. I bet they shot that scene last, and that's just what the beard looked like by that.
Could be. So Lacey Chabert gives him her last $5.
Which was also her first $5.
Oh, that's right.
Framed.
Her framed $5, I forgot. Yeah.
I liked his sign, like, it's something generic, like, we'll work for food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when she walked by him, I was like, we'll musical theater for food.
But, like, she gives...
We'll kick Paul change for food.
As we've already established, he's basically playing Santa Claus in this movie. Or, like, there's only two kinds of Hallmark movies. Movies where Santa is real, and movies where Santa is probably real. Like, those are the two genres.
Well, this is very much similar to the 90210 episode that we saw, where Santa keeps popping up in different places, and it's always the same actor. So.
Yes, and you're just sort of left like it's probably Santa, but whatever.
I like the idea that all homeless people are Santa because they're all watching whether you're being good or not. That fits in sort of a Judeo-Christian tradition.
And that's kind of what I was thinking of. Like, so the whole thing is, so she's nice to this homeless guy, and so nice things happen to her later. She's at her lowest. She sees someone even lower. She gives him $5 that she really can't afford.
Yeah.
And so you like her.
And it's sentimental $5.
It's a good screenwriting device. We like her very, very much. But my first question that popped in my head was, what if she hadn't given him the $5? What if she was just how different would this story be if a magical Santa wasn't guiding things in the right direction?
Okay, you know, you always talk about how these movies are just, they take an existing movie premise a lot of times and just do them. Sliding Doors.
I've recommended it.
Oh, okay. That's already happened.
I don't think it's happened, but I've suggested it.
Okay.
And when we saw, there was a double feature of Hallmark movie Family Man movies like a week ago. And my whole thing was, I just want to see like a Family Man. So the guy like makes a wish, gets to see what his life had been like if he had chosen family instead of business, which all Hallmark movies are anti-business.
Yes.
The worst thing you could be. You're worse than Hitler if you pick business over your family. And I just want to see, like, okay, so I get to go back into this alternate reality and take the place of whoever I was when I didn't pick business. And I want to see the person who didn't pick business replace them in the other reality and see what happens to them. And they realize that this is so much better than having kids. I have freedom and money and
respect. Love this job.
Yeah. I just want to see that version.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, that we should put our heads together and write The Christmas Sisters, where it's like these two sisters, and one of them is super obsessed with business, and the other one is all ooey-gooey Christmas, but they're both, like, ruining everything, and they have to meet in the middle to make the family business survive and to make Christmas awesome.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I don't.
No?
No. Here's why. I don't like it when people learn.
All right.
Well, then, you're on the wrong channel.
How about this? Christmas Hocus Pocus. The three kings from Orient are. They get sent into the future. And it's like, what is this? This has nothing to do with baby Jesus. And they try to, I guess, kill everyone.
Here's what
with
I actually
magic.
Want.
I haven't really thought this one out.
I want more Grumpy Cat Christmas movies. Oh. I want a series of them.
I saw a list.
Because that was a good TV movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name names because someone wrote this list who I actually respect, but someone wrote a list of the worst like Christmas specials ever, and they put Grumpy Cat on there.
They are
how dare you?
That person is wrong.
Bad stuff, too. Like, otherwise, it was spot on, but I'm like, Grumpy Cat is worse than She-Ra?
Grumpy Cat Christmas special is terrific.
It knows what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Unlike Pac-Man, say.
There is a lot of sincerity in a lot of these Christmas movies so that you can appreciate them ironically, especially on the Hallmark Channel, where everything is super duper white and magical. And Grumpy Cat had just enough self-awareness. It knew it was stupid. It made a weird joke about sexual impropriety in a Lifetime movie.
It was the salt in a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
It was really, really good stuff. So we move on from
off to beautiful house in Ohio.
I'm sorry,
am I skipping?
I want to talk about, because we have one of the best exposition scenes I've seen in a while, in which it's nothing but Lacey Chabert, and I didn't catch the actress's name who played Haley.
The child.
No, the child.
The best friend.
Yeah.
Judy Greer.
The Judy Greer. Okay, so Lacey Chabert and not quite Judy Greer, they're having a conversation and they're packing up all their stuff, and every single thing they say is exposition about the other person. And it goes back and forth. Like, you're my best friend. How come you never told me you were a pack rat? Well, you have a shop that just closed down. Well, you taught me everything you know. Well, you work at Butler's. And I'm like, wow. This is efficient and redundant. It's amazing. It's the second best exposition I've ever seen on a Hallmark movie. The first one was that Alicia Witt movie, Christmas at Cartwright's, where every third scene is Alicia Witt going back to her house and telling you what just happened in the last two scenes to her neighbor. It's incredible.
In case you were making a sandwich.
Yeah. So, and then as they're packing up and she's all sad, oh, I have to give up my dream of having a store. This little, like, pint-sized female Josh Hutcherson walks in the room. And she's got all of her, like, chorus music and everything like that. Well, everyone else has given up their dreams. And I'm like, wow. That's a passive-aggressive kid. I like this kid already. That kid is the most talented person in this movie. I will say this right now. She has just got cherub down to a T. No one else liked her? You didn't like her?
Wrong.
She made the movie for me.
No.
She reminded me of that character that Vanessa Bayer does on Saturday Night Live, the child actor. Stuff.
Here's what I will counter you with. The only people I could watch in this film, and I'm not just saying this because he's my friend, is Kevin and Kathy Najimy.
Kathy Najimy is a national treasure, and we do not appreciate
that. Both of them have been playing the same character for about 25 years.
And she's always good.
If I did not know this man from a can of paint, I would still say that he and Kathy Najimy are the only two people in the film who are acting in spite of the non-direction going on. Yeah.
Kathy Najimy, she plays Lacey Chabert's aunt, and she owns like a diner, and she's mostly just there because...
to be supportive.
We could get Kathy Najimy, so let's do it. And she makes jokes. They're dumb jokes, but at least they're actual jokes.
She sells them.
She sells them. She has this whole, like, give peas a chance when someone says no peas in my plate.
Right.
It's like, and if it's only because Kathy Najimy told that joke, you're just like, yeah, it's pretty good.
She does the exact same thing in Bear City, too.
And then everything else she does is she just like, oh, you talk to that guy you knew in high school? And it's the Kathy Najimy version of, I don't know what the Jewish version of that is, but it's great. And then the other thing she does, which is amazing, in the end of the movie, she meets Haley, the character we just talked about, who pops in at the end of the movie. And they're just sort of chat a little bit for about two, like one and a half scenes. They have more sexual chemistry than anyone else in this. I was like, oh, that's where this is going. Because oftentimes there are like those two supporting characters who don't do anything. And then the Hallmark movie ends with them sort of realizing they're good for each other. And you get the hint. They're like, oh, that's nice. They found each other. I'm like, oh, they found each other. Good for them.
How do you feel about working in a diner, Haley?
Yeah. You work at a diner. Oh, well, you work at Butler's. Anyway, then they go to the small town. Now you may proceed.
Then they go to the small town.
I take this very seriously.
Joshette Hutcherson is very upset about having to leave her friends behind, and she makes a wish to Santa that they basically get to go home to Los Angeles.
A rhyming wish.
Yeah, it rhymes.
A rhyming wish. I forgot. Because she's a songwriter. And of course, that means everything has to rhyme. Yeah, tell Fiona Apple.
Actually, it's the same. No, it's not quite. She's not quite a songwriter yet, because this movie has the same dramatic spine as the Britney Spears movie Crossroads.
Oh, true.
In which a poet, and of course, in Crossroads, she was also a car mechanic pre-med poet.
Yes.
In which a poet realizes after meeting like this really cool guy that poetry is almost music. And if he just takes your words and he like does a little guitar thingamabob, all of a sudden you realize, wow, you're singing the lyrics to my Mariah Carey song.
Mm-hmm. Right. She is a poet, but who also likes to sing and dance.
What?
And
double threat.
So they go to the new school and they meet a janitor who looks like homeless guy, played by Kevin Chamberlain. And
my first thought was, this homeless guy stalked them from Los Angeles. And then he says he knows the name of every kid at the school. And my girlfriend and I are watching. We're just like, where is this going?
Yeah. So then...
He's Santa.
Yes. Well, let's hope so. And then we meet Mariah Carey in very soft focus as Lacey's one-time high school nemesis, mm-hmm. who is now rich and married and running the PTA and a general... B.
You know, Lacey Chabert like says, "Oh, can I come to the PTA meeting?" And she's sort of like, "Yeah, I guess." And then, but towards the end of the movie, someone suggests, like the principal suggests, "Well, we should make Chabert a permanent member of the PTA." I'm like, "It's not a club. If you have a kid in the school, you're in the PTA. It's a joint.
Yeah.
What is with this?
This is a very exclusive PTA."
we've skipped over two things. One, which sorry. Is very minor. Team Ah.
Yeah. They don't get enough screen time.
There's like one little weird trio of supporting characters who almost have a personality.
Yeah.
And I wrote down the names just because I wouldn't want to know.
Oh, are these like yeah. Mariah's little mini-me's?
Her minions,
she's
yeah.
got minions. Team Angela, April, and Holly. And mm-hmm. they call them Team Not Aha.
Or Ha. Oh, and I forgot also that upon arrival, she gets a gift basket from Aunt Kathy Najimy.
Yeah.
Which features very prominently the jumbo Costco size of Folgers coffee. And that's the MacGuffin of this movie, is the Folgers coffee. It keeps coming up.
I wish it had been the actual MacGuffin and somehow the plot had actually revolved around
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like there had been a sapphire hidden in it or something.
Yeah. Something. Like you could have done, like we were watching this and like, you know, listen, a lot of movies are expensive. Even cheap movies are technically expensive. So, okay, Folgers wanted to get in on this action. We'll do a couple of close-ups of some Folgers.
And Folgers said, "We'll give you $100 to make this film."
They're like, "We will be your whore, sir." And that's fine. I'm fine with it. It doesn't even faze me.
Yeah, that first close-up, I was like, no, like I sort of yeah. registered it or didn't even really.
But then it just keeps coming back, and then like there are close-ups of them clinking their coffee mugs, like Folgers in the backgrounds. It's got this warm, glowing, like it's like the Folgers has like a side quest for you in a video game. Light.
It's lit like Ava Gardner. That Folgers can. I posted a picture of one of the still frames that we took on the Linoleum Night Facebook page. And it's just, yeah. It reminds me of our friend Tony Tripoli, who was on... Do you remember that show Fashion House?
A little bit.
It was sort of the American idea of a novella where it aired 5 nights a week and then it ended.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was back when UPN vanished or something.
Yeah, it was like My TV or yeah. one of those. Anyway, so... there was this whole thing where they had to keep talking about the Maybelline scholarship during some yeah. like fashion show episode. Yeah. And apparently, like, they could not get... I think Bo Derek was like not going to say the Maybelline scholarship, so everybody else had to say the Maybelline scholarship.
In the second season of Arrow, I think Arrow was in some serious trouble because every single episode had at least one scene where someone was like fiddling around on their new, like whatever the Microsoft equivalent of the MacBook Air was. And it was always just like, oh, I need to order a pizza or something. Oh, hi, Green Arrow. Do you want to know where Ra's al Ghul is? And it's just, oh, God.
Well, what was that line on 30 Rock where she had the slank? Or no, there where she's getting an Oreo McFlurry. What? It's not product placement if I like it.
So someone really likes Folgers. Clearly. That's the excuse.
Mariah, big fan of Folgers. She's the new Folgers. Mrs. Olson.
Folgers is the coffee that people love to have at Christmas when someone comes home.
Yes.
I've seen that in all their commercials, and I know it's true.
Was Folgers that one commercial?
So people do love Folgers.
To be fair, isn't Folgers that one commercial with like the son who they didn't think was going to come home for Christmas?
Yes.
Early, and he makes Folgers coffee, and everyone wakes up to the smell, and it smells all good, and they realize, oh, Brian kids home.
Right.
And everyone, it is seriously one of the best commercials ever produced.
It's one of the best commercials for Christmas, at least.
Especially Christmas.
That's ever been made.
But it's a lot shorter than A Christmas Melody.
Granted, but in and of itself, that commercial, there are certain commercials that get trotted out every year. They never die. And they are in and of themselves a Christmas special. In the middle of the Mariah Carey Christmas movie, they showed that one, it's a more recent one, but it's of the two M&Ms, and they see Santa, and they go, Santa's real! And Santa goes, the M&Ms are real! And they all faint.
Oh, right.
It's like, that's cute. That just, that never dies.
You know,
like,
you know what they got to bring back? That Hallmark commercial where the divorced mom is picking up the kid.
Is that on YouTube somewhere?
I'll see if I can find it. And then
it's brutal.
And then there's the card, and then the ex-parents decide to spend Christmas dinner together.
Okay, now I'll explain in English what happens in that commercial.
I don't know this one.
Oh,
the mom brings the kid to the dad's for Christmas, and it's like snowing outside and everything, and she's going off, I guess, to be alone.
She's on with her tennis pro boyfriend.
Yeah, and he gives her a card. And no. The dad's dropping off the kid.
Okay.
At the mom's house. Anyway,
that scene from Carol, but it's a
gender
commercial.
Is fluid, and so one of the parents is dropping off the kids at the other parent's house. I'll say that because I don't remember.
Yeah,
which,
I forget
who it was that did it. Anyway, they give a card to the parent inside the house with the kid. Hallmark card. And basically she opens up the card, or he opens the card and the card says, you're a really great mom or dad, whatever. Mom or dad. And then they open the door back and they're like, would you like to come in and have Christmas with us? And by the end of this commercial, you're just like...
You can totally take the edge off of that commercial by adding like one line at the end, like, would you like to come in and spend Christmas? I've totally forgiven with you for sleeping with that tennis pro. Just totally takes the edge. Because you got to wonder,
and the other person
divorced
is like,
for some reason.
The other person's like, hell no.
Or it's like,
you? Do you want to come another 3 hours? No way.
You want to come in for Christmas? I don't know. Is your whore coming over?
I will now relate... No, I will not.
I think you have to.
I was going to start telling an actual story about people I actually know, but there's a chance that they might hear it, and I cannot. But it involves language very similar to what Alonzo just said.
Tell us off, Mike.
You were there.
Oh, really?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, you'll have to remind me.
I feel very left out, audience.
Okay, so anyway, so do you. And I'm very sorry, audience, for even bringing that up. I realized as it was about to come out of my mouth that it was probably the wrong story to tell on a podcast.
It's Christmas.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we? Okay, so she's getting the PTA,
yes.
Snowflake pageant, right?
Yes.
So it's like something, and which is not only just the school talent show, it's apparently a giant fundraiser for the entire music department, and that the whole town is supposed to show up for, but apparently then if the show is no good, they won't show up.
Like, how would they know in advance?
Exactly.
Well, the janitor keeps telling everybody, well, I hear this is the best show ever.
The reviews out of dress rehearsal were brutal.
He's doing a great...
Viral campaign, yes.
So she gets to, in a weird plot point, they decide that she couldn't, they got there too late for the daughter, Emily, to try out.
Right.
So she has to try out, like, separately. And she sings Deck the Halls, and in another bizarre creative decision, the only part that this girl gets wrong is the la 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 part. Like, she actually, like, oh, I forgot the la 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 la. How?
That's a tricky song.
That
is
a tricky song. And we'll see that theme repeated in Mariah's Carey's Merriest Christmas, by the way. And so, yeah. And so she gets to be a part of the talent show. And then the movie just sort of goes at a low simmer for a while.
Yeah, there's the Lacey Chabert, because she's dress lady, is then dragooned into making costumes for everybody. Yes. Because Mariah's fancy schmancy store-bought costumes look like butt. And then, and meanwhile, music teacher is like available male who went to high school with her and has nursed a crush on her all these years.
She
and
doesn't remember him.
She sketchily remembers like him.
I like that he's like had a crush on her for like going on 20 years.
And they grew up together and went to all the same schools.
He dissected a frog for
chemistry
her.
Class together, a biology class together, and she has no idea who he is.
Who were you again?
It's great. And you know, because you, Drew, if you'll remember, and I heard this and I thought, oh, what a nice throwback to the wonderful married couple at the heart of My So-Called Life. Because Claire Danes' parents, that was their backstory. They went to high school together and they didn't know each other.
Right,
and they only got together like afterwards as adults. And I thought to myself,
yeah, but did they?
Oh wow, I don't remember that. Okay,
did they dissect a frog together?
I hope they did. I like to think they did.
I remember Dave the people White. Who dissected frogs with me in high school.
Our eyes met over the gallbladder.
I couldn't name most of the people I went to high school with, it was all
because
four
it was one of my good
class.
Friends, okay. And he's still.
It's a different context.
We're still connected yes. via the Facebook.
I also like yeah. how. When they're moving at the beginning of this movie, she says, oh, I'm writing down everyone's addresses so we can like write letters to each other. I'm like, has Facebook not been invented in this universe? You're a kid. You would know that.
You would email them.
Yeah,
you would text them.
You would have that written down on
your
computer.
How old is this kid? Like 10? 10, 11?
Yeah.
They might not let her on Facebook yet.
They might let her on email, though.
My nieces and nephews were not allowed on Facebook until they were in their teens.
Well, I saw that movie Men, Women, and Children. I totally understand why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will send you a parchment.
Yeah.
Via pneumatic tube.
Okay, so then...
We basically fast forward the movie. Oh, and then Lacey Chabert gets to have her fake snow dance. I forgot what it was like to be in falling snow.
Oh, right. The coconut.
Oh, and she like dances and like twirls around, and the guy's like, ha, ha, she's not crazy, she's just adorable. And then the scene ends.
Yeah.
She's
so free spirited.
They're at the Grove. So the fake snow is every night at the Grove.
I think I'm going to give them enough credit to say they're at the Americana.
Okay,
but same difference. These are very LA references. Sorry, but anyway, they're at an outdoor mall where there's fake snow. That's
there are
how bad
places
the
in
is.
The Southern California area that will shower fake snow upon you during the month of December.
Disneyland.
The Grove.
Yeah.
And I assume the Americana as
probably
well, because it's the same...
owners as the Grove.
Owners of the Grove, yeah.
I don't get out enough. I know none of these things. I don't. I will say this. One thing about this movie that was like... And you can tell this is specifically because Mariah Carey got to direct this movie. The soundtrack to this movie is legit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They spent some money on real, like, Nat King Cole...
Jackson 5.
More than they did on Beards.
Yeah. The typical Hallmark movie has this sort of Christmas-sounding music.
Yeah.
Where it's like clearly like some small band sent them a demo of like this Christmas-sounding song that's like, it's Jingle Holly or something. And it's festive enough that you get by. But when you hear Nat King Cole singing in a Hallmark Christmas movie, even if Mariah Carey's singing it for like a couple of minutes, it feels like a real film.
Yeah,
it's kind of amazing how powerful that is.
I totally noticed that, although I'll be very curious to see if, say, when the DVD of this comes out, if those songs are still there or if they just, you know.
Yeah, right. And I don't think Mariah Carey's going to pay out of pocket for the home video release.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because seriously, I'm willing to bet like someone owed her a favor. It's like, can I please get the Jackson 5 song, I'm Mariah Carey? And they're like, well, I guess you are.
Yes, somebody at ASCAP or whatever.
Remember, I covered I'll Be There.
You're welcome.
So you owe me. Yeah.
Now, well, we were saying last week, which I guess you heard, Bibbs. My theory is that she is saving the title "All I Want for Christmas Is You" for her like White Christmas, like her big theatrical thing.
The Pulp Fiction to this Reservoir Dogs,
as you were. Yes.
Yeah.
So you know, as you will. I think. Yeah. So she's definitely not going to fritter it on this action here.
No. That's her, or
the song even, which we'll get to.
You also talked about her being a Christmas queen, which we'll have to talk about when we get to the special. we need to so the Haley, the friend, comes back and just says, "Hey, I'm here to instill some third act doubt." And they're like, oh, well, what do you got for us? And she's like, well, I got you a job with a store, and they're going to carry your whole line of clothing. Somehow I did that without you noticing, and then giving them your resume. And she's like, whoa. And the guy's just like, well, I guess you're going to leave because you're an adult, and why would you turn down this incredible opportunity to take care of your child?
And you certainly can't make clothes anywhere but Los Angeles.
Yeah, and the child goes, no, and she runs. And Lacey Chabert is like, man. Then they have the talent show.
And the kid wants to revise her wish to Santa, which Janitor Claus says is still doable.
He says it's doable even though you have to sing it. You can't just give it to me right now. You have to sing it or it doesn't count.
Look, sitting on the lap is fine and dandy, but...
depends on the context.
Jump through a hoop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jump through a hoop.
Show some effort.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Kid.
What are you? You're 10. It's right. Time to put in some effort.
It's time to do something.
Meet Santa halfway on this.
Yeah. So she has to sing, and so they go to the Christmas pageant, and Mariah Carey is forced to say, yeah, okay, I guess the costumes are all right. and then that's her arc. That's it. That's all they got. And then she performs a song, and the song is Mariah Carey's Oh Santa.
Yeah.
Which, I'll admit, is a great song.
It's a pretty good song.
When a 10-year-old sings it and they don't cut out some of the more sexual euphemisms
from
it.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. It's when she's talking about, like, bring my new daddy down my chimney, I'm like, oh, no.
Right. And you're meant to take it on an innocent level.
Of
but
course.
It still sounds weird
because
Mariah has built a career, Mariah Carey has built a career on the promise of sex that never arrives.
Yes.
And because of that... everything she writes and does is... Do we have a buzz going on?
We do. Hand me your mic for a second. I think you might...
Am I dislodged somehow?
It's not mine.
I don't know what it is.
It's too late to fix it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're moving on.
Carry on.
So she's built an entire career on being a tease.
And so,
yeah.
A sexual hysteric, as they say in Screening Party.
Yeah.
But the... Anything she does, every performance, every day of Mariah's life, if you watch enough Wendy Williams, and I do.
As if such a thing were possible.
Yeah. Then you will see that when Mariah Carey goes out to do anything on just a normal day, if she knows cameras are going to be there, and maybe even if she doesn't, she is dressed.
Yes.
Up.
Yes.
A gown, perhaps. Like, it doesn't matter. It's broad daylight. She's got a slinky gown on. And so it's a thing that Wendy Williams actually talks about. She's like, look at where's she going? Like, what's she doing today?
Going to 7-Eleven to get some beef jerky and she's dressed to the nines.
She's the opposite of Britney Spears, who just is sort of like, put on my cut off my jeans. I didn't put on any shoes. I'm going to the gas station for some dinner. Like
Sean Penn hitchhiking to get cigarettes. Yeah.
Right. So what when a child is essentially being mini Mariah on stage, something
it comes with a connotation.
Something has to change, or that child does look
And even if we're going to take the reading of the song as being like bring new stepdad down the chimney because Lacey Chabert's widow,
yes,
right,
yes.
Okay, I'm sure music teachers like we're only dating. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Probably should have vetoed that. And the thing is that the lyrics to that song, Oh Santa, is a fast song. It moves at a clip. It's got a lot of lyrics. It's like if Jim Steinman did a Christmas song with Mariah Carey. And so a lot of the lyrics go by so quickly.
They're
that the
lost.
First time you listen to it, you're not really registering the lyrics. This isn't Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, where the intent of every statement is abundantly clear the first time you hear it. So all you really pick up on are the big moments, and the big moments are what they don't change. The big references, many of them to sex, are what they don't change. They change the context. Yep.
June is busting out all over.
It doesn't function. It doesn't work. Now, the kids are fine, and they're festive, and
they're jumping around. They're just like little candy canes.
It's fine. It's perfectly adorable, and in a vacuum.
Her little white fur-trimmed Santa dress is cute, you know.
Yeah, but it's weird, and it doesn't work, and it's really hilariously aggrandizing to Mariah Carey, saying, this magical, this song, and by the way, I love that this is about the origin of this song, because I have this. I want to get Mariah Carey and I want to get her to shoot one extra shot for this movie. That's her in the middle of this musical number on the phone. It's like, Mariah, it's your cousin, Martha Carey. You know that new Christmas sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this.
I do really, really, here's something I genuinely love. The narrative of the song being written is incredibly reminiscent of the way the song at the end of Glitter was written. Because
except that that would involve two people not knowing the other one was writing it.
Yeah. In Glitter, she and DJ Dice were writing the song psychically at the same time without knowing that the other one was writing it.
That's beautiful.
And it just magically was a thing that he was writing exactly the same song that she was writing. And so here you have this a similar story where, you know, this kid is sort of accidentally writing a song with a man who is going to be mommy's new husband.
Mm-hmm. And spending way too much time with him after hours.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When she's not spending time with the creepy janitor.
Well, yeah, Dave was saying, he kept doing in the lazy Shiver voice, oh, you want to spend more time with my 10-year-old daughter? That's great.
Once again, I think the janitor is not creepy. I think he's Santa all through and through.
No,
I think he's being
to the dad, to the music.
No, he said creepy janitor. Oh, okay.
If you're willing, here's the deal. We were talking about before when we started this, or right before, about how in Miracle on 34th Street, they never specifically clarify whether or not he's Santa Claus. That's part of the movie's charm. Yep. This movie never specifically says that he's Santa Claus. You never see him like in a sleigh. She says it, but she is not a reliable narrator. So
you do see the sleigh at the end.
Do you see? Oh, do you?
You see the sleigh take off and fly off.
You
don't see him in it like at the reins or anything, but you do see the sleigh.
To be fair, I have seen so many Christmas movies over the last couple of months that ended exactly that way.
They blur together.
Like seriously, Christmas with the Cranks ends that way. And you're like, what the heck?
Which Kevin Chamberlain is also in.
Yeah, it's weird.
I am giving Kevin this, that each line reading is delivered with an earnest, not creepy quality.
Yes.
That if you are reading creepy into it, it's because you're a jaded grown-up who thinks bad things. And I know that's you.
The first time I saw him, he was a homeless man in Los Angeles. They go to another town, and he's there, situated in her school.
With a different beard. He's a different man. He's Santa.
He's put on a disguise so that he can follow this woman and her daughter and insinuate himself into the... This is 1 hour photo with Santa. Now, there is a Hallmark movie I have pitched.
1 hour Santa.
Yeah, it's Alicia Witt. She works at a photo mat, and she sees that all this family always these wonderful Christmas photos. Now they're sad, and so she tries to figure out how she can fix their Christmas, and bam, 1 hour photo Hallmark done.
I am
they write themselves.
I am planting the flag for his earnest, warm performance as Santa.
He's fine,
as well as Kathy Najimy's nice performance.
There's so many people who make these movies.
The two actors
and the Folgers
in the film.
And the Folgers tub.
And the tub of Folgers.
I believed the Folgers. There's so many people who make these movies, and they have to make them quick, and oftentimes I can tell like they're cheap, and not a lot of effort gets put into it, but there's so many people who make these movies who are, to be fair, consummate professionals, and they're doing the best they can. And oftentimes you'll watch one of these movies, and like one person does a really, really good job. Or at the very least, you're watching these movies, and even though they're bland as toast, white toast with nothing on it, the structure is fine. You know, like someone knows how to do like the whole thing about like, we're going to tell the story and it's going to end with have her like writing this song, and in the end the song's going to bring everyone together. That's perfectly good story structure. This is from the writer of Christmas Under Wraps, one of the better Hallmark movies,
mm-hmm.
about a woman who Candace Cameron Bure gets her doctorate, of course, and she doesn't get into the only hospital she applied to.
From Liberty University?
No. So she ends up going to Garland, Alaska, which is this mysterious town that isn't on maps and can't get deliveries. And Brian Doyle Murray is there, and he looks just like my dad if my dad was Santa. But everyone's like not talking about it, so it's like this weird Christmas Twin Peaks. And it's actually pretty good. Like, I'm not even, like, legitimately pretty good. So there was something.
It sounds like the town in Halloween 3 where they make the masks.
It does, actually. A lot like it. So there was potential here to create something beautiful, and I think Mariah Carey blew it.
Yeah, although, I mean, the weird thing is, I think it's either a no-win or a no-lose, depending on how you look at it, in terms of, if this movie had come out really well, I'm sure other people would be able to say, well, you know, she was credited as director, but she really relied on her DP or this person or that person. Right. And then if it tanks, they can pin it on her or flip it, you know, where it could be that she can be like, oh, well, I didn't, you know, really, you know, these schmoes over here actually did the stuff and made they're the ones who cropped Santa out of the opening shot, you know.
But success is relative in this milieu. You only expect so much from a Hallmark movie. That's why this is a really good bet if you want to make your directorial debut.
It's a Hallmark bar.
Movie. Yeah, it's like I got to make a movie. I got to play with the idea of making a movie. I got to figure out how to make a movie. And if it comes out even comprehensible, Hallmark will put it out.
Sure.
I didn't see the actual numbers, but I was reading an article. This did really, really well in the ratings for Hallmark. This was good for them.
Good. So you know what that means? They're going to show it every year for the next 5 years.
And checks
and
for Kevin.
And our pal is going to get residual checks.
There you go.
And you know, as much as it is fun to dump on Mariah Carey, I will.
So much fun.
But I will, you know, I have to acknowledge that, you know, she's good and precious. She's good in
She's
really good in Precious. She's good in Wise Girls with Mira Sorvino.
Yeah,
like that was a movie that we watched post Glitter, thinking, oh, another Mariah Carey performance. It was like, oh no, Mariah's actually kind of comfortable in this one. And yeah, she's
when someone's telling Mariah what to do, sometimes she does good stuff. There's a bit in we should transition to her Christmas special.
Hang on, here's where I think her performance was coming from. If you go to YouTube,
in which film?
In this film.
Okay. Yeah. If you go to YouTube and you watch her clips of when she's on, I think it's either QVC or Home Shopping, selling her line of whatever it is, she's loose and funny and being kind of weird. And there are two clips that I'm particularly fond of. One is called Mariah Carey is Having a Moment, where it's a supercut of her saying, and now we have a glitter moment going here, or a fringe moment going here, or I love a hoop moment here with these earrings.
So it's her realness.
Yeah, she's saying this is this moment. It's moment over and over again, but she's having a good time. And then there's another one where it says Mariah Carey loves everything. And she's, again, it's a supercut of her saying how much she loves this or that fashionable thing that's being sold on.
I love a pashmina.
Yeah, I love a pashmina. I love a straight pant. You know, like, you know me, I love some cubic zirconia diamonds. I don't know what she's saying.
I love a hoop moment.
Yeah. And so there is this element of like over the top glamour diva that I don't think she brings out every single day or just in the, around the house, but when she leaves the house,
oh yeah,
it's all about darling. It's real old fashioned.
Yeah,
you know, and I think
she's the lost Gabor sister.
I think that haughty weird I'm a glamour queen thing is what she was trying to do.
She was lampooning that
with this mean girl kind of character.
Sure,
opposite one of the mean girls.
She wasn't doing it very well, but I think that's where she was coming from.
Well, I want to make it clear that Mariah Carey is talent as a singer. She's a very good singer.
She's incredible.
She's got a range as a singer. Like I'm not dumping on her in error. I just don't think everything she puts her mind to is brilliant because we've just proven that that's not true.
Yeah, granted.
Yeah. Now, I think that's fair. Okay, I think Mariah Carey would say that.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying this is where I think the performance was probably trying to.
Now, I don't know. It somehow tied into the deal of making this, starring in this movie and directing this movie, Hallmark Channel also got a whole other hour of her in Mariah Carey's Merriest Christmas Ever.
As we were discussing on the last podcast, she recently made a public appearance where apparently part of her deal, part of her rider, was that she had to be billed as the Queen of Christmas. And that made me so happy. That made me so happy that she decided, like, this Lucy Van Pelt situation was going to happen.
We've even got a Christmas Queen.
and she just thought, yeah, that's going to be me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the Christmas Queen. I'm the Queen of Christmas. And And so we were talking, oh, she needs to have a special. She needs to have Queen of Christmas special, like, every year.
Yeah. You
like,
said this. You said this last week, and I'm like, it's on this week.
It's on this week.
We didn't know.
We were in the middle. We were in the middle of watching the other special
Christmas Melody, and the little lower third came up, and we're like, what?
There's a musical special coming on right after,
and it's got celebrity guests like Babyface and Kelsey Grammer.
Stoked, and so, and we looked at each other, and we said, oh man, we prophesied this.
Yeah,
it's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, and so, so she has this Christmas special.
This is the Christmas special that broke my girlfriend.
Apparently, the guy from is it the guy from Mike and Molly who plays Santa?
I think
in these horrible sketches about Santa with the GPS.
Oh my God, that's the most amazing. So oftentimes
they couldn't just get Kevin to stick around for this.
Kevin had better stuff to do.
They already had the beard and everything.
He had to come home. And
so we're watching this abysmal Christmas special, and there is this thing where they cut to, without even mentioning it or setting up the clip, just the guy in a Santa suit, beard hanging around his neck, talking to Siri, Ico, or whatever the heck they said it was. And it's like, he can't get to Mariah Carey's Christmas special. And then the narrator says, will Santa get to Mariah Carey's Christmas special in time? Find out after this commercial break. And I'm like, why do they need him? They never set up that they need him for anything. And then towards the end, when he finally is about to show up, that's when Kelsey Grammer starts reading... "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," and it's all magical, and Mariah Carey's there in her alternate medium shot universe, where it's clear that she wasn't there, and then for whatever reason, because they finally hear that Santa's showing up, she starts getting him to, like, speed up, and it's almost a funny joke that he has to do this magical Christmas read-along
in the really, really fast. Voice.
But then, like, Santa, first off, then the guy finally gets there, and then the real Santa shows up and says, I got this. And I'm like, he was already there. Where were you, Santa?
We have Kelsey Grammer. Thank you, Santa.
And then
we're good.
Santa shows up, and he says, ho, 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 I am here. And everyone goes, yay! And that's it. And I'm like, Santa, you got Santa all the way here and he didn't do jack?
I know, like, suddenly he's Matt Damon on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Yeah, what's the point? Why did you do this to us?
Well,
it
the
was
whole,
so tacked on.
The whole hour was really worth it just to see Mariah in a sleigh pulled on stage by, like, four shirtless dudes.
They were dressed as reindeer. They were wearing brown skin tone shirts and had little reindeer antlers, but it looked really inappropriate.
You're thinking of Kylie Minogue being dragged around by shirtless gladiators.
You're right.
Which is better.
Yeah.
Which is better.
Mariah should have taken the note.
Mariah, like, forgot the lyrics to Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
And she didn't even care. She was like, eh.
Yeah, just one take care, Aaron.
No one cares.
And in front of a live audience, but in front of the smallest live audience I've ever seen on television.
It's like those were 20 people.
Those were recruited lambs,
well,
I'm guaranteeing
you.
No doubt.
But I'm just saying that, like...
It's one 50-year-old white guy who's clapping along.
There was him. But, you know, I bet he's a lamb, too.
It looked like it was supposed to be, you know, a supper club or something, but it looked more like the supper club fallout shelter. Like, there were maybe two rows of tables. It was really
weird.
This
reminds me, if you watch the final performance, that big O Santa performance in the movie, and then you cut, every time they cut to the audience and they're clapping, they're always out of sync.
Right.
They're never in sync. And it never matters that they're not in sync. No one's saying anything. You could have totally cut that in sync. It's weird.
Yeah.
Mariah's like, white people.
So this movie, first, exactly. There's so many things in the special. If you thought the movie was pro Mariah, this special is beautiful because
she is the queen of Christmas.
She's the only one who gets a gold microphone.
Yeah,
I would like to introduce Lacey Chabert, and Lacey Chabert comes out and says, "Hey, Mariah, I think you're an incredible human being. I think you're the most wonderful, special person. I can't believe I had the privilege of working with you.
That's what Lacey Chabert should say.
I'll take this dinky $5 microphone next to your solid gold microphone.
It was a very Manchurian Candidate moment.
Yeah. And then they
Mariah Carey is the bravest, kindest.
and then separate from that, they also have an interview with Lacey Chabert and the guy who played her love interest and the little girl. And it's the most pandering, meandering,
terrible thing. Junket B-roll.
And the guy says, well, you know, Mariah Carey is Christmas. It goes from Mariah Carey to Santa Claus to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the truth. Now that she's Queen of Christmas, she can marry Santa, and together they can take on Jesus. And then all she has to do is kill Santa. He's old. He's going to die. And then she becomes Emperor of Christmas. And then... Oh my God! Look, I don't even know what happens next.
Now, Dave, describe your favorite Lacey Chabert moment on this special, because that was a good catch that I did not make at first.
When they ask her if she had a really good time making the movie, and she says, "Oh yes," and is shaking her head no.
It's like she's blinking in Morse code to reveal the location of her captors.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't care what kind of good time Lacey Chabert had on that movie. I don't care
about paid.
I don't care about anyone. Here's what I want. I want the Queen of Christmas to continue making Christmas specials each year. I want her to oversing every single song until she's 96.
This is our new Dick Clark.
She, yes.
Yes.
She's one of the greatest human beings alive. She recorded The Emancipation of Mimi, one of the greatest albums of the past 10 years. Don't think I'm making this up. You think I'm just black metal all the time? I am not. The Emancipation of Mimi. You jerks.
That sounds like an exploitation movie I should have seen by now.
Everything in this special could have been cut and burned in a fire. Except,
I agree.
Except for her getting up there in her like gown and waving her hand around the way she does when she sings and adding syllables and notes to every simple construction.
But I don't want to lose all that Aspen footage.
Oh my God, that Aspen
the
footage
Aspen footage is pretty great.
There's so much footage of her just talking off camera, talking about how much she likes snow. There's two separate scenes of it. It's like that weird Tom Cruise Scientology footage that leaked on the internet that was only supposed to be used in like a public performance talking about how great Tom Cruise was. And he's talking about how Scientology is like so great, and it's just that for 30 minutes.
I hope that special got great ratings just like the TV movie did, because I need her to do a fresh one.
Yes, but every year. But with a budget. None of this Hallmark.
A budget. With a budget. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It needs to be on NBC, ABC, yes. whatever it takes.
Yeah.
She's moved into that part of her career where she's not really having hits anymore.
Make her the new Bob Hope.
The hits have happened.
Yes.
She has a catalog. And it's for life.
You can't take it away from her.
You can't take it away from her. Yeah. And so now she needs to move into that phase of her career where she is like a celebrity that children know exists but don't know why.
Yes, like Bob Hope.
Like Bob Hope.
Or the Cabors.
Yeah. And she's just hosting and singing things. And every year it's for a Christmas special.
And she's
fresh celebrity guests. Yes. I don't want to see Kelsey Grammer ever again for the rest of my life.
And the new special ends with the same song every year, just like Bob Hope and Bing Crosby.
That's true. It all works out.
And did this special end with the O Santa?
No, O Santa, I think they actually went through all of the songs in that movie, even the ones that she didn't personally sing. I think she sang them all.
Okay,
as if
yes.
to say, like, no, I could have done it.
No, here's how you do it.
And then it ends with All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Right,
big yes. Christmas.
So that special is to keep
Maybe
selling.
Maybe that's what the DVD will have, is the Mariah versions of all those songs.
So that the special sense. Is to keep selling All I Want for Christmas Is You, and the movie is to keep selling O Santa.
Yeah.
Because she's, I mean, that said, O Santa was a hit on its own.
Yeah.
But it stands in the shadow of All I Want for Christmas Is You. What? Like, it hasn't taken its
place. It
goes
White Christmas to All I Want Is Christmas Is You to Jingle Bells. Like, those are the three.
In the past 3 decades, we have had approximately 3 new Christmas-themed pop songs that have ascended to canon.
Which, besides All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Wham's Last Christmas.
I didn't think it was that reason, but okay, yeah.
That's from the 80s.
I guess so, okay, yeah.
And the Pogues' Fairy Tale of New York, which is also from the 80s. And so you've got those 3 that sell every year, that chart every year, that people
cover.
Love. They cover them. They come back to them.
I feel like we're forgetting something, but yeah.
But that's...
Christmas Is All Around.
Yeah.
No.
I've been tormenting Dave with that.
That's kind of... Those are the 3 songs.
Yeah.
And
Save Ferris.
And Mariah Carey.
Woke up this morning.
Wait, Christmas Wrapping.
And Christmas Wrapping.
There you go.
Okay, I'll say it's 4 then.
A Christmas in the LBC. No, what am I getting wrong?
No,
Run
DMC's. Christmas and Hollis.
Christmas and Hollis.
All right, it's 5. There are 5.
Okay. There's a handful.
Yeah.
There's not many, regardless.
Right. And so...
And no one's covering Christmas and Hollis.
They should be, though. That would be awesome. They did it in
they
the
did
that
it
movie.
In the night before.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
but I don't think they didn't release it.
They're doing
it,
karaoke.
Right.
Like, I want, like, you know, the Joel Sobule version.
Well, or yeah.
Ridiculous. Josh Groban does.
Yeah.
Christmas in Hollis.
Well, here's what I love about this. I love
and
how...
collared greens.
I love how greedy Mariah Carey is, because she's not content to have one staggeringly popular song be a Christmas
she's
perennial.
She's got to kick another one in.
She's got to kick another one up the ladder to make it happen, too.
And Oh Santa is awesome. I'm not going to...
It's a good song.
I like that song a lot.
It is not as good as All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I would argue that All I Want for Christmas Is You is better for any context other than just listening to it in a vacuum. You want to put something on the background of a trailer, a commercial, anything you're selling. You want to play that at a party. Awesome. If you just listen to them side by side, I will take the Pepsi challenge with Oh Santa. Oh Santa is a number the Jackson 5 could have done. Like, that's a great song.
Yeah, but All I Want for Christmas Is You has that whole sort of Phil Spector production to it.
Yep.
It's the closest we're ever going to get to that Phil Spector Mariah album that we're never going to get to listen to.
Right.
Which one was it that she co-wrote with Mark Shaman? She mentioned, like, I just want to say this is a song I co-wrote with Mark Shaman. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm sure Mark Shaman helped a little. Just a smidge. Yeah. She just totally, like, she gives him the credit, but she plays it way down. And I'm like, I think Mark Shaman did a little bit on that.
Yeah, my lawyer says I have to mention Mark Shaman when I introduce this song. Mark Shaman.
So, in conclusion.
How short was this super short episode?
In conclusion.
We just hit an hour.
I love Mariah Carey so much.
I'm titling this episode, We Need to Talk About Mariah Carey.
I'm fine with that. This has been a really, really fun, you guys. This is the perfect way to cap it off.
I think so, yes, because we've individually on our separate podcasts been doing a lot of holiday television.
Yeah.
For anyone who's been annoyed at the LKTV insistence on talking about Christmas specials.
It's over now.
For the past 5 weeks, we are now officially done. We're going to go back to normal TV.
We promise.
More Manimal.
Making a Murderer. I'm really, really
I wondered when you were going to hop onto that one.
To start watching that. That's going to be
I finally got December to see Jessica 26. Jones. You're way ahead of me on that. Yeah. I have not seen anything
Oh, wait.
Yet.
You're going to have to talk about one more Christmas special because you still haven't seen the Doctor Who Christmas special, and that is a perennial.
Yes, but you and I are talking about that on What the Flick, and so I don't do that here.
Oh, fine. So if you talk about What the Flick, you don't mention it here?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay, that would seem redundant. I haven't been talking. Oh, but you know what? I don't know. Amir asked me if he thought that you and I would have watched all of The Affair by next Monday to talk about it. And I said,
no,
I don't think so.
No,
but,
I would like to. But,
but maybe at some point in the future when we get caught up about it, you can
maybe
come back
and we'll
talk
about it.
Maybe
when it comes out on home video.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah, that gives me enough time because I haven't watched a single episode of season 2.
I've seen like 3 or 4. So, all right. Yeah, well, let's do that.
Not a whole DVR'd, though.
When The Affair comes out on DVD, you come back on the show and we'll recap that show.
That would be great.
It's been amazing.
Can I make one quick shout-out? Because there's a Christmas episode of something that is readily available on Netflix, I think, until January 1st.
No.
No? Okay.
Go ahead.
Just real fast. It's one of my favorites, and no one ever talks about it. It's the Justice League Unlimited episode called Comfort and Joy, and it's all about what the superheroes do on Christmas. And it's really, really great. And, like, the Flash gets in this Jingle All the Way scenario where it doesn't matter how fast he is, he can't find a store that still has this toy that all the orphans in Central City want. The two, like, single adults with no family who are, like, kind of in love, Green Lantern and Hawkgirl, do what single people do, and they kind of just go out on a date and they go club hopping and everything. But the best part is Superman brings Martian Manhunter home for Christmas. And the Kent family, you know, knits him a sweater. And they say, like, you know, Clark has always been a really big fan of Christmas. We used to have to wrap all of his presents in lead-lined paper. And Clark just puts down his cocoa and totally straight-faced. You mean Santa wrapped them. And Superman's parents go, yeah.
Yes.
And then later in the episode, as Martian Manhunter is just sort of walking around, feeling kind of lonely, he's the last of his species, he sees Clark... Superman, like, down by the Christmas tree, looking at a present, and it just look at the present for a second, and then goes, lead. It is very, very, very charming, and no one talks about it, and I just watch it while you can, because it's leaving Netflix this month.
Do they have to douse the fire when Martian Manhunter comes in?
No. Okay. Although, this is the origin in that series of where he learned to like Oreos, because there's a little girl who says, like, he hears, like, a little girl's thoughts. Martian Manhunter is psychic, for those who don't know. is one of his powers. And she says, like, oh, all the kids say that Santa isn't real, but I know you'll come, Santa. I know you'll eat the cookies I left out. And Martian Manhunter, like, reaches down in the chimney and picks up an Oreo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and, like, that's... if you know comics, that's really funny.
Yes. Anyway, it becomes a running gag in the... Giffen Justice League.
It's your last chance to watch a Christmas special. Watch that one if you've seen them all.
Excellent. Okay. And you know what? And you're one up on me this year because somehow I forgot to TiVo... 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and it's not coming on again. Like, ABC Family used to run it, like, 2 or 3 times a year.
Oh, the animated one?
Yes.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Which, Dave hates it because he's dead inside.
Even a miracle needs a hand.
It's all the songs are really good.
The songs are really, really, really good. It's got Joel Grey. Like, how?
Yeah. Tammy Grimes.
It's kind of funny, but, like, the setup is terrible because it really is. Dave was right. I tweeted that I was watching this. Santa is a jerk. this one kid sends Santa a letter that says, like, oh, we don't believe in you anymore. And Santa's like, well, screw that town, I'm not going. And he sends all their letters back.
Right. And it does get into the, you know, somebody was asking me, like, if there's a Christmas movie motif that I don't like. And the ones where people who don't believe in Santa Claus are destroying everything never makes sense to me, especially because in the world of these movies, Santa clearly exists.
Yeah.
And so you would be able to say, but no, there is a Santa. Why are you being such a jerk about it? And those people would not have a leg to stand on. It'd be like if God showed up in Times Square and gave interviews, and there were still atheists.
That's,
you know,
the premise of the Clash of the Titans remake. Gods show up and do stuff constantly, and people have stopped believing in them. That whole movie doesn't work. You know, one last revelation I've had about Christmas.
What's that?
From watching all these specials, I watched The Christmas That Almost Wasn't, or at least I watched most of it before I gave up. And it's one of these movies in which a miserly old Jewish stereotype is like saying, like, oh, Christmas, I'm going to stop Christmas. And I realized, you know, one of the things people talk about every year, Kirk Cameron made a whole movie about it, is the idea of war on Christmas. There's a war on Christmas. There's a whole generation, mostly of adults, who believe that there is a war on Christmas. And I realized all of these adults grew up watching every year Christmas specials in which someone very specifically tried to end Christmas, actual person. They think that's real. They think the Grinch is a real guy.
Well, and what's funny, though, is the message of the Grinch Who Stole Christmas is that you can't stop Christmas by removing the trappings of it, that Christmas is something else entirely. But then you get a movie like this, The Christmas That Almost Wasn't, where it's like, oh, nope, Santa's not coming. No Christmas this year. Oy. Anyway.
It's been a magical episode. Thank you for having me.
Delightful to have you. And people can find you online. You are at William Bibbiani and at B-Movies Podcast on Twitter, correct?
Yes, and you can subscribe to the B-Movies Podcast on iTunes. We really hope you do. And you can find my writings at Crave Online and occasionally at Blumhouse.
Yes. All right. And for those of you who might have missed it last year, by the way, Bibbs and Whitney and I recorded an entire commentary track for the Star Wars holiday special.
God help us all.
The new movie may have induced you to want to try and endure that again this year. Good luck to you. But
do
anyway.
Not watch that without some form of assistance. If that is an intoxicant, fine. If that is our commentary track, even better.
Yes. Do not operate heavy machinery while watching the Star Wars holiday special. Anyway, once again, for an episode that wasn't going to happen, it turned out to be lovely, but we wish you the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of New Year's, and you know, all the usual end of show stuff, whatever.
God bless us, everyone.
Why not? Anyway, so we'll be back in the new year with new episodes of LKTV.
Yes.
Until we finally start the subscription thing, in which case...
Which will happen soon enough.
Yes, subscribers will get this show. But of course, Regular Linoleum Knife, our podcast of the cinema, will always and forever be free. And we will be back with one of those this weekend to talk about all the new movies opening on Christmas. So until then... Goodbye.